Jeremiah chapter number 11. I do have a lot of ground that I do want to cover this morning, a lot of scripture reading, just to give us an idea of what is going on here. But we will get through this morning. Has anybody ever made a promise that they couldn't keep? Anybody ever made a promise they couldn't keep? You know, it seems like a lot of us have a problem like that. Matter of fact, what we're going to be reading here this morning is a promise that was made between God and the people of Israel here, and they were not holding up to their end of the bargain, and we're talking about the covenant here that was made. But I can remember back when I was a kid, I used to make all kinds of promises to God, and I would never keep them. I would always break them. I would make promises to people. I wouldn't keep them. I would break them. But anyway, we all have had some areas in our lives where we promised someone that if we'd be there for them, we broke that promise. We had promises where if someone lent us money, we would pay that back, and probably we've missed a payment or two with individuals or maybe even the bank. But we have come to know throughout society that men and women have a problem of keeping their promises. I just shared you a promise that I had earlier, but one of the promises that I take very serious in my life today is the promise that I made to my wife 23 years ago, that I would love her for richer, for poorer, and in health and in sickness, till death do us part. And that is a promise that I plan on keeping until she kills me, and that'll be good for her. She she did tell me, she goes, Chad, she goes, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. She goes, you know, I'd really, if I die before Christ comes back, she goes, I would really love to go in my sleep. And I said, really? You would love to go in your sleep? She looked at me and says, you jerk. But anyway, that is a promise that I hold very near and dear to my heart, because that is a woman that God has given to me. And I'm thankful for the love that we're able to share with one another. And not with anybody else, but with one another. And I'm thankful for that promise that she has kept and I have kept as well. With that being said, now we're going to look back into the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 11. And we're going to be looking at, really it's called the Palestine Covenant. Or you can refer to it as the Land Covenant as well. But let's read this whole chapter here. Then once I get done reading here, I'm going to have you go and turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. You can find chapter 28 and 29 and 30, if you will. And I'll just give you a brief history on that. But as we begin to read, let's have a word of prayer first. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Lord, before I even begin talking about this, I just want to say thank you for your promises that you have kept. You've never gone back on your word to us, and I'm so forever grateful for that. Lord, we take that lightly at times in our life, but Lord, you are true to your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us where we have failed you on that part. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning. Lord, for the ones that were mentioned earlier, we pray that you would just give them comfort in their hearts and their lives. Lord, we ask that your will would be done. We ask that you would be glorified this morning. And, Lord, I ask that you would use me to speak to your folks this morning. We ask in your name. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse number 1, we will begin reading here. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." If you were to go back to chapter number 10, it almost starts out very similar. It says, "Hear ye the words of the Lord." Verse number 3, "And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice, and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, So be it, O Lord. Then the Lord said unto me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and do them." So this is the second time that this is mentioned in chapter number 11. So that's telling me that they have gone back on their word here. Verse number 7 says, "For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined the ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. They did them not. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense. But they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem have ye set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I not hear them in a time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Now this is the second time we see this phrase, pray not for this people. Verse 15. What hath my beloved to do in my house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. The Lord God, the Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planteth thee hath pronounced evil against thee, for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showest me their doings. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be no more remembered. But, O Lord of hosts, and that judgest righteously, that thou triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee I have revealed my cause. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Antioch, that seeketh thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by their sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Antioch, even the year of their visitation. So as we begin to read this chapter, we are reminded that these folks here have been brought into a covenant with their God. And this is known as the Palestinian Covenant, or the Covenant of the Land. And they have gone back on their word. So, with that being said, we're going to look at our first point this morning, and that is the broken covenant. And we might sit there and say, oh man, those people are in some serious life situations here now, because they made promises to God, and they're not keeping it, and woe is them. That is true, but at the same time, we're no different, folks. We make promises that we can't keep. We even make promises to God that we cannot keep. And so therefore, we find ourselves in the same boat here as well. Now, this covenant that is mentioned here goes all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. And if you would, go ahead and turn there. I'm not going to read the whole chapter of 28. Matter of fact, I'm not going to read that at all, if I can find this here. I'm going to read parts of chapter number 29, and just to kind of give you the condition of this covenant that is mentioned here. So chapter 29 of Deuteronomy, we'll start in verse number 1, then I'm going to skip down and to verse number 18. I just want to hear, I want you to see these words that are mentioned here, because we just read this two times in Jeremiah chapter number 11. Now, verse number 1, it says, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now let's jump down to verse number 18 here. It says, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood, So as I begin to read this particular covenant that they have established with God at this point in time, one of the things that sticks out with me is a very familiar thing that we have been going over these last several weeks, and that is the people doing what, folks? Rejecting God and serving false gods. So this is a path that they have chosen to go in their life. It's not the path that God wanted them to go down. Matter of fact, God had a different plan for them. God had a different road for them to go down. And all they had to do, we see this time and time again in Scripture, was obey the voice of the Lord their God. And it was followed up with this, and I will be your God. And so this covenant here is one that has been broken before, and now we see here that they have left God, they have turned away from Him, they're serving other gods, they're serving false gods. And now we begin reading verse number 19. It says, "And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add the drunkenness to thirst." We go back in Jeremiah chapter 11, we see that they sought their heart with evil imaginations there. And so we're seeing some similarities taking place here. Verse number 20 says, "The Lord will not spare them, but the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven." Folks, I don't know if that verse doesn't scare you, but it scares me. When the Lord God says that I will blot out your name from under heaven, this covenant that they have come in place with God is a covenant that was made to be kept. It wasn't a covenant that was made to be broken. And they have sought to follow after other gods instead of serving the God that deserved to be served, instead of serving the God that deserved to be worshipped, and the God that gave them life. He chose these folks. And I tell you what a great thing to have in your life. God chose these folks, and now they have rejected him. And this thing, this verse here, 20, just it really puts it in the light. It says, "And the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven." But let's read on here. It says, verse number 21, it says, "And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adamiah and Zeboiim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger?" Now, as I see this in verse number 23, now we see that Sodom and Gomorrah are thrown into this. And what do we see with Sodom and Gomorrah? Go back to Lot and his wife. His children are involved in this particular land, and there's so many sick things that were going on, things that I don't even want to mention, to be quite honest with you. But Lot was there with his family, and he brought them out. And what do we know about Lot's wife? Well, she liked the lifestyle. She began to walk away with her family, but she had a second thought, and that second thought caused her to turn back. And what happened to her? She was turned into a pillar of salt. And I tell you what, that's pretty powerful when we begin to think about that. It's not just a little glass of salt. She was turned into a pillar of salt where she stood at that very moment. And that's amazing. But we see, even with that being said, what did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah? God destroyed that city, those cities, for what? For their wickedness, for their lavish lifestyles where they are involved with sexual sins of serving other gods and things of that nature. And God didn't like it, and God wasn't going to put up with it no more. And he says, "I'm done with it, I'm finished." And now we see this taking place here with this particular covenant. You don't obey me, you're going to go down your ways, you're not going to go down my ways. There are consequences for that. No different growing up in a home where you have parents over you and they say, "Son, daughter, this is the way that I want you to live. This is the way that I want you to go. And if you don't go down that path, boy, son, daughter, there's going to be some consequences for you. And there will be a rod of correction for you. and it's not going to be fun at times, and I will bring punishment to you. I tell you what, that's a good parent. That's a good parent, because they love their children, and they want to see their children on the right path. Now let's begin to read here in verse number 25. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. Now that verse here is a verse that we really kind of need to take some time to look at. But they worshiped gods that they had no recollection who they were. They knew them not. But yet they decided to not serve a God whom they knew, whom they had a relationship, whom they entered into a covenant with. And that's something that should not be forgotten here. So they served gods whom they knew not, and whom they had given unto them. Verse 27. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger, and in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land that it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So we see here that we should not be picking and choosing the laws that we need to abide by. This is what they were doing at this point in time. They decided that this law, this promise that they made at this point in time, was a direction that they were not going to go down. They were enticed. They were intrigued with other ways of living. They allowed themselves to be captivated by these false images, these false gods. And they turned to these false gods. They begin to have, I don't know if you can say this, but I'm going to say it. They wanted to have a relationship with something that could not have a relationship back with them, was something that could not care for them or love them the way that God could. And I tell you what, the ignorance of these people at this point in time. So the covenant here that we just read is, again, as I mentioned earlier, is the Palestinian covenant. And this particular covenant is very similar to the Mosaic covenant that was made before this. You can also call it the land covenant. This covenant came about, as we read here, during this time, after the wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. They spent a lot of time wandering in the wilderness. I tell you what, when you begin to do the guideline of the map where they went and how long it took them to get from one particular place to another, it's astounding. They didn't have far to go, but man, they took a long way around. And they began to do a lot of wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. The contents of this law was very simple. If the children of Israel obeyed the nation, then God would bless that nation. All they would have to do was obey. No different than, again, I compare this with parenting and just raising up your kids. You reward your kids for when they do good. What's that doing? You're bestowing your blessings upon them. You're rewarding them for doing what they are told to do on a daily basis. And the contents are simple. Obey the voice of the Lord God, and he will bless that nation. But here's the consequences of that. We've read about this. If they disobeyed the law of God, then what would happen? The curse would come upon that nation. And you can go back to chapter number 28, and you can begin to read those things that would take place. Now, go back and turn back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 11, as we've gone through this part already. Now, I want us to pay attention to verse number 2. As I begin to read, as I've already read back in 29, verse number 2 of 1, it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So after all this, our text today in verse number 2, Jeremiah tells them to listen to the words of the covenant that was previously made. Why was he telling them to listen to the words of the covenant? Because they have forgotten about it. They have forgotten about the promise that they have entered with to God. And so he is being a reminder to them so that they would, again, not follow the gods that they are following, not follow the false image or serve the false images that they're serving at that time, but to go back and to serve God that loves them. God, at this point in time, this is astounding to me. God has yet to stop loving these folks. Was he angry? Yes, he was angry. Did he have every right to be angry? Yes, he did. Because they chose to walk away from him. This hurts the heart of God. It pains him to know the folks that he loves, the folks that he has chosen, walk away from him. No different than, as you're raising your children and you're giving them that path to go down and you want them to have that lifestyle that is good for them, it pains you to see them go on to the opposite side that they are taught to go on. And then they begin to go down that path of destruction. And it is a path of destruction. They might not see it at that point in time. They might sit there and think, well, the grass is greener on the other side. I'm going to do some exploring. And then before you know it, what happens? They're involved in things that they should not be involved in. This is no different than the people of Israel at this point in time. They are involved in things that they were not meant to be involved in. They were not meant to serve false gods. They were not meant to serve false images. They were meant to serve God. Folks, no different than you and I. We are not meant to serve false gods. We are meant to serve God. And shame on us if we don't take that serious in our life. And so Jeremiah is saying, listen to these words. Because folks, you've forgotten the words that have been told to you. You have forgotten the covenant that you have entered into God with. And now, because of this, there's going to be doom and gloom for you. This is what's going to happen, doom and gloom for you. Now we're going to look at God's promises. God's promises to these folks. Even though people break their promises to God, I mentioned this earlier, he never breaks his promises to us. Turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 30. Deuteronomy, chapter number 30. God never, ever breaks his promises to us. There are some promises that he had made to them that he has not gone back on his word. There are promises that God has made to you and to I that God has not gone back on his word. And praise be to God for that. And one of the promises that I love to cling to in my life is it says he will never leave you nor forsake you. I love that promise because no matter where I'm at in my life, God has never left me. I might have walked away from God. I might have gone down a path that is less desirable, that is a path that believers should not be going down. But God has not left me. He hasn't forsaken me. But we're different in our lifestyles, are we not? We forsake and we leave him. So God has some promises that he has made to these folks. In verse number 5, it says, one of the promises, it says, "And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers." The promise that he made here, he promises to bring back the people of Israel that were scattered, meaning there's going to be a return to Israel. There's going to be a return to their promised land. And the amazing thing about that is God knows where each and individual is, and he can gather them just like that. And they're there exactly where they need to be. So he promises to bring this scattered people back and to return them to their promised land. Verse number 6, it says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live." The second promise that he made to these folks is that he will circumcise their hearts. Well, what's so big about that? Well, here's what the big part about this. Because after their hearts have been circumcised here, they will continually love the Lord their God. Isn't that amazing? After the circumcision of the heart, he promised them, hey, you're going to continually love me. And that's a promise that he has made to these folks. The third promise is found in verse number 7. Says, "And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee." Now, we all have enemies in our lives, do we not? We might not have them now, but we probably had some in the past. go back to how you were when you're a young child, even in a young adult, and you might not have been the most righteous person. You might have created some enemies in your lifetime, and you probably have some people that might hate you. I probably have folks like that in my life. But this here, the promises was made to them. It says he promises to judge their enemies, meaning God's going to take care of them. I don't know about you, but I take great comfort in that, knowing that my God will take care of me when my enemies want to attack me. You know, and to be honest with you folks, there's nothing that I have to do. All I have to do is really, I just need to sit there, be patient, wait upon God, and let him do the battle for me. And that's what he wants to do. He's our general in the time of warfare, and he wants to take care of us. He wants to deliver us from our enemies who attack us. And we have many different things that we can consider enemies in our life. And God will take care of them. And he'll do that for you as well. And these are promises that he has made to them. Now, we'll look at the fourth promise that he made in verse number 8 through verse number 9. It says, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. So, as we begin to continue on with these promises that God has yet to break, because God doesn't break his promises, he keeps his promises, and so he made this promise. The fourth one is, hey, folks, all I want you to do, and I've told you in Scripture many times, it's very simple, obey my voice. Obey the voice of God. That is something that is hard to do. It's the easiest thing to do, but it's the hardest thing to do. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, think about this. How many times has God spoken to an individual in a church service or maybe at home, and God has called that individual to go to the mission field, to surrender their life, to be a witness to God in a third world country? Or how many times has God spoken to somebody to take up a full-time ministry? Hey, I want you to go into the ministry and be a preacher. I want you to be an evangelist. Or I want you to start an orphanage or things of that nature. And how many times has God has called people to those things, and they know for a fact that God has called them, and they ignored the voice of God? They disobeyed God's voice. I know a guy today that has been called to be a preacher at a young age, and he has refused to surrender his life to the Lord in the ministry. He has refused to surrender his life to the Lord in ministry. And he has struggled through life. He has struggled to keep jobs. He has struggled to keep homes. And now he's up there in years, his parents are up there in years, and he lives with his parents. And this guy is almost 70 years of age, his folks are up there as well. What are you saying? I think life would have probably been much more easier for him if he would have just obeyed the voice of God. See, God speaks to us, and he speaks to us in many different ways. He might not speak to you the same way he's speaking to me, but he speaks to us. And all we have to do is do the simple thing, and say, okay, God, this is your will. This is what you want in my life. Then this is the path that I'm going to go down, because I know that you'll be there with me. All we have to do is obey the voice. The fourth promise that he made to them is, hey, obey my voice. And if you read verse number 9, he will make them prosperous. He will make them prosperous. I don't know about you, but that's a nice blessing to have. It's a nice blessing to have. And it's not talking about the prosperous and the thing that you might be thinking of, hey, send me a dollar in here and I'll send you $1,000 back. That's not what I'm talking about here. God's going to take care of his children. He's going to bless his children. When times are tough and there might not be food on the table, who's going to provide? God. That's why you go back into the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, we're to pray for our daily bread. You know, we take advantage that it's always going to be there. You know, as a young person growing up, I didn't realize how there were some times that mom and dad were concerned that there wasn't going to be food on the table. And they had six big mouths to feed. And we were big kids. Well, I shouldn't say it like that. We were kids that were growing. And we always thought as children, Christy, did we not, that there was always going to be food on the table. It never crossed our thoughts that there wasn't going to be food on the table. But it crossed their thoughts. And I can remember there are times where we'd walk home from church and or drive home before we moved over here. We would walk home or drive home, and there would be bags of grocery on the porch or on the steps. God's taking care of his people. That's being prosperous. But we look at it in different ways. Oh, God's going to bless me with $1 million. That's not what I'm getting at, folks. God's going to do unusual things in your life to have you be prosperous. And so this is the fourth promise that he has made to these folks here. And again, it's a promise that he has kept with these folks. So now we're going to see the third point I want to make out here this morning is walking away. Verse number 10, if you go back to Jeremiah, verse number 10, and let's read verse number 9. It says, "And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers." Did we not just read this back in chapter number 29? Chapter 29, we read the same similar story here, that they're rejecting God, they're serving false gods. What is taking place? They're no longer walking with God, they're walking away from God. That's what's going on in their lives at this point in time. Again, bring back to your memory, your recollection, how many times you stepped away and how many times you've walked away from God. Boy, I tell you what, that's troublesome in my heart because I know I'm not a perfect man. I know I don't live perfectly, and there's times where I walk away from God. But I'm also grateful today that we serve a God who is there for us as soon as we turn our back. He's right there. He's right there. He doesn't leave us. And again, that's a promise I mentioned earlier. So they walked away from God. We see they refused to turn to God, and they went after other gods. Well, their gods at this point in time are a little bit different than our gods today. Are there still false gods? Yes, there is. But they didn't have the things that we have today that are taking place in our lives that have a higher standard in our life than God having a higher standard in our life. Again, I mentioned many times, we spend countless hours just watching our televisions. And those are hours where we can spend reading our Word, allowing God to penetrate our heart and to see what He has for us. We spend many times and hours on our cell phones, texting, or looking up things on the internet, things of that nature. Those are times where we can be meeting in our closet with the Lord secretly, having a relationship with Him, not walking away from God, but walking to God. Draw nigh to me, and what's He say, James? And I will draw nigh to you. And we need to be drawing nigh to God. So they refused to turn to God. They went after other gods. And I begin to imagine, even as a parent right now, because there have been some issues where my daughter has hurt my feelings. That happens. I know. Girls can hurt men's feelings. It happens, ladies. It does. But we have to get over it rather quickly. But the pain that God must have felt at this point in time when they rejected His love. That's what was going on. They were not just serving other gods, but they were rejecting the love of God. They were saying, "Hey, I don't want your love, God. Just allow me to be where I'm at, what I'm doing at this point in time, because I am content with this." They're rejecting His love, and I can just imagine the pain that God must have felt at this point in time. And they were really going in the way, in verse number 10, which they were taught. It says, "They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which they refused to hear my words." So they were only going back into the ways they were taught. Again, I know this sounds like a broken record, but folks, we have children in our midst that are watching our every single move. And I tell you what, I don't want to be that person that causes that young person to walk away from the Lord. I want that young person to draw closer to God because they're seeing that God's real in my life. That should be our desire, amen? And they went back into the ways of their fathers. And so if we want the next generation to change, then we must lead by example and live by God's word. That's what they need to see in our lives. Not only just saying it with our mouth, but actually doing it. Doing it. Not just being a hearer of God's word, but doing God's word. There's a big difference. We can all sit here this morning and hear the words that come out of my mouth and come out of pastor's mouth in the next hour and just hear and do nothing about it. It's not going to do anything for our lives. We must be active in doing God's word. We must be active in leading that righteous lifestyle, living that that lifestyle that God wants us to, and to live by God's word. What do you mean by living by God's word? God's word is the authority that should be in our households. God's word is the authority in this church, amen? And we need to live by God's word. So don't let our children's generation reject God. It begins with us. It begins with you and I listening and obeying God's word. If they see you and they see me not listening and not obeying God's word, guess what's going to take place? It's going to continue to repeat that cycle over and over again. And as the further we get along to the next generation, what's going to happen? Hearts are going to be turned farther away from God. And shame to us if we lead our children into that direction. But there is hope. You mean it, Chad? There's hope? Yeah, there's hope. It begins with you, and it begins with me. All we have to do is obey the voice of God. And it begins with us listening to his word. Verse number 14, we see here that Jeremiah is, again, told to stop praying. He says, therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Again, Jeremiah is told to stop praying for them. Again, that's not a situation that Jeremiah wants to be in because he wants to pray for them. He wants for them to hear God's word. He wants to see their hearts change. He wants to see their lives change for God at this point in time. And he's given all of his ounce of energy into preaching the message to folks that have rejected God and has fallen false gods. And he has a desire for them to come back and to have that relationship with him. And now he's said, hey, don't pray for him. Don't pray for him. It's not going to do any good. They've rejected me. They don't want to hear it no more. So why waste your time? That's what's being done here. So he's told to stop praying for them because they didn't want to hear the word of God, for they had rejected them. And we see here in this verse, God would no longer hear them. Verse number 14, it says, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. So God here has, if I can say this correctly, God has turned a deaf ear to them. He's not going to listen at this point in time because of this very reason. Because they have become out of touch with God. Well, how do we become out of touch with God? Go back to my third point, by walking away from him. By not taking the time to allow him to be the God in our lives. That's why we spend a majority of the time in Exodus chapter 20. And it talks about, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why? Because God is a jealous God. God doesn't want anything else that's going to substitute him. He wants to be the God of your life. And they have become out of touch with God. There are other reasons why they were told not to pray for him. He was told not to pray for them any longer. Verse number 19, it says, but I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. And I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be no more remembered. Now they had a plot to kill Jeremiah. Why? Because Jeremiah was preaching the truth. They didn't like the truth. They were rejecting the truth. The truth was showing them that they are sinners. The truth was showing them that they are accountable to God and not accountable to man. The truth was showing them these things, and they didn't want to hear it no more. And so they figured the best way that we can get out of this is, hey, if we can come up with our own plan and our own schemes, and let's take this prophet of God out, let's kill him. And I tell you what, that's some pretty serious anger issues, isn't it? Where they wanted to kill him. But not only to want to kill him, but they had more love for Baal than they had for a true living God who has given him everything. They have forgotten about the blessings that God has bestowed upon them. They have forgotten about those things. Why? Because they walked away. And now they're in a situation now, hey, let's kill the man of God, let's do away from him, because we feel that our way of living, our way of serving Baal is more important than serving God. And this is where they're at. Rejection of God brought righteous punishment by him, by God, in verse 22 and 23. Let me end with this. Fortunately, the outcome of this doesn't depend upon Israel's obedience. It depends totally upon God's faithfulness in wanting to restore Israel. Amen? It doesn't depend upon us. It depends upon him. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises that you have fulfilled. And we ask you bless the next hour to come in your name. Amen.